This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
You may have some kind of bad behavior in your life, and you keep focusing on trying to break these bad habits. If you just focus on loving God and loving people, it won't be long, and you won't even know where those bad habits went to. Jesus regularly talked about this principle of loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Matter of fact, in Matthew, it's recorded that he said it is the greatest and the most important commandment in the Bible. Matthew 22, 36, teacher, which kind of commandment is great and important? The principal kind in the law. Some commandments are light, which ones are heavy? This guy wanted to get deeply theological. And he replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your intellect. This is the greatest, the most important, and the principal commandment. And a second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then in James 2, James said, if indeed you really fulfill the royal law, now, this is the law of the new covenant. In accordance with the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. You do well. So you know what I've come to in my life? And one of the reasons why I'm so glad I'm preaching this again today is because we all need to hear this over and over and over again. Because really what I'm talking about today, it's not natural to your flesh to want to do it. You know, even if we give, we're not too big on getting into the sacrificial part. Once it starts to hurt a little bit, whether that's time or money or whatever it is, you know, we would much prefer to do something for somebody that deserves it, and especially we'd prefer to do something for somebody that we're pretty sure can do something back for us. Uh-oh, I'm gonna go talk to these people. You guys are much smarter. Did you hear what I said? We don't mind giving to somebody if we think that they may, matter of fact, sometimes we like to give to people because now we feel they're indebted to us. So we got to be really careful when we do give, if we're going to do the Jesus kind of giving, that we don't have any ulterior motive. No wonder the Bible says in Matthew that when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. In other words, don't sit and meditate on all your own goodness. Just do what you do because you love God and let God take care of your reward. It's easy to do things for people that we think deserve it, but it's another whole story to do this. But if you can go out of here today, yeah, how many of you know that there in Christianity, with all of our teaching, there's a lot of stuff to keep up with? I mean, a lot of different teachings, and we need to pray, and we need to study the Bible, and we need, you know, all these things. We get into all these things that we think that we need to do, and sometimes you can just get worn out from it. But you know what? If you focus on love, it takes care of everything else. Honestly and truly, you may have some kind of bad behavior in your life, and you keep focusing on trying to break these bad habits. If you just focus on loving God and loving people, it won't be long, and you won't even know where those bad habits went to. Too often, we focus on trying to fix something that's wrong instead of trying to do something that's right. I'm gonna say that again. Too often, we try to focus on fixing something that's wrong rather than just doing something that's right. I wrote a book about habits called Making New Habits and Breaking Bad Habits. And I didn't say breaking bad habits and making new habits. I said making new habits and breaking bad habits. You know why? Because if you focus on doing the right thing, the wrong thing will have no room to operate in your life. But if you spend all your time trying to deal with the wrong thing, you never get around to doing the right thing. And don't we do that? We're always trying to focus on what's wrong. Even in our dealings with other people, sometimes we're so intent on telling them what they need to fix about themselves that's wrong, and maybe if we would pray about that more and build them up more concerning the things they do right, they might be more motivated to fix the things that are wrong. Well, this is better than I thought it might be. I don't know. Now, you know... Love is something that you can see. It's patient. Well, I could sure use a lot more of that in my life. It's generous. It doesn't just give something, it gives its best. It's kind. Love even has good manners. It says please and thank you. Love is humble. It doesn't think it's better than other people. If we don't think we're better than other people, then it shuts down a lot of the criticism and judgment. I love this one. Love always believes the best of every person. Oh my goodness, if I can walk in love, it'll help me get rid of all the suspicion. Well, what did you mean by that? Love never gives up. Love is something. It is something you can see and feel, and love does something. Love is active. It meets needs. Well, who is my neighbor? He thought, well, surely this is not intended for the Gentiles or the Samaritans or the heretics or the criminals. I mean, surely you're not asking me to love them. You see, back in the days when this was written, and it's really much worse today, there was all kinds of dividing walls between classes of people, the rich and the poor, different nations. The Jews thought they were better than everybody else because God had chosen them to work through. And you know, in choosing the Jews, he was not shutting anybody else out. He wanted to use them to draw other people in. I did some study on this recently because I wanted to have a better understanding of what did that mean? They were the chosen people. What about everybody else? But you know, God always works through somebody to bring other people in. He worked through Jesus to bring us in. He worked through Moses to bring all the rest of the Israelites out of bondage. And you know what? God is wanting to work through you to bring somebody else in. God works through people. And even back in the Old Testament, when the Jews were the chosen people of God, there were strict instructions on how they were to treat the strangers and the temporary residents. God always taught them to treat them respectfully, to make sure they were fed and clothed, and to treat them with respect. Why? He wasn't like choosing the Jews out and saying, you're better than everybody else and everybody else is going to be shut out, but that's the way they took it. We're better than everybody else. So what they did then was they erected all these walls, these invisible walls between them and everybody else. And so they knew the law. They could quote scripture. I don't suppose they had highlighters then, but if they would have had them, they would have highlighted in their, they didn't have a Bible like we do, but whatever they had that they could read, I'm sure they would have highlighted it and probably tacked it on the front of their door because they were really big about letting everybody know what they knew. And I think we're a little bit like that today. You may have a huge Christian library and you're so proud of it. People tell me, I've got all your books. But I can tell by how they act if they've read any of them. Having a big Christian library doesn't mean anything. What do you do? How do you act? That's the important thing. And so Jesus was trying to say the same thing to this guy that he's saying to us today. Now, Jesus said, I'm gonna give you an answer to your question, but I'm gonna tell you a story. That's what he did. He told stories, which are parables, to teach people deep theological lessons. Now here we go. I love this. Luke 10, 30 through 35. Jesus, taking him up, meaning really that he decided to take this guy on and try to teach him something. Okay, you want to argue? Let's have a conversation. A certain man was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him of his clothes. That means left him naked and all of his belongings and beat him and then went on their way. Not concerned about him at all, leaving him half dead as it happened. Now, let's not skip over that too quick. Let's think about this guy. He's going somewhere, and all of a sudden, robbers grab him. The road that he was on actually was a very dangerous road. It was a place where there was a lot of hiding places for robbers to hide, and they would then attack people. So I don't think you wanted to be on the Jericho Road unless you didn't have any other choice. And they beat him up so bad, they stripped him naked, left him laying there with no clothes on, took all of his belongings, and I'm sure he was bloody and beaten, laying off on the side of the road. Now it happened that a certain priest was going down along the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, you know, if you would expect anybody to help the guy, you would expect a religious leader to help the guy. A Levite, likewise, who was another religious type of person, came down to the place and saw him, and he passed by on the other side. How many people are we crossing the street to get away from? Come on, don't act like that you don't sometimes see the untouchables of the world. Not that there really are any, but we're good at avoiding people. I mean, if I really don't want to talk to somebody, maybe it's even just somebody that just, I don't know. They're the kind of people, you know, if you say one thing to them, you're going to be there for 15, 20 minutes, and you don't want to hear any of it to start with. And so it's, oh, no. And maybe you can't listen to the person every time you see them, but if our hearts are really open to God, maybe God might say, this time I just want you to listen. Just, you can serve me by giving them 15 minutes. That's one of the ways you can give, just by listening to somebody, giving them a chance to talk. I tell a little story about years ago when I was, knew a lot less than I do now, but I was trying to learn some things. I went to a doctor for something. I think my son had broken his arm, and I took him there to get the cast off or on or something. I don't remember. And there was an older gentleman there, and he was had a cast on his leg. And I brought my Bible. I wanted to read my Bible. I was going to pray, and I just wanted to be spiritual. And this elderly gentleman wanted to talk to me. He wanted to tell me how he fell on the ice and all about the cast and how long he'd had the problem and how he felt and on and on and on. And I didn't want to listen to it. I didn't want to hear it. I wanted to be spiritual. Is anybody home in the house today? I don't have time for you. I just want to underline in my Bible. And you know, the Lord spoke to my heart, and this is what he said. If that was Billy Graham, would you talk to him? Well, I mean, I didn't need a three-part series. I knew exactly what God was trying to get at. He was like, yes, you would talk to him because that would do something for you. I mean, an important person like that, you could give your attention to. You'd talk all day. But this elderly guy that means nothing to you, just because he meant nothing to me didn't mean he didn't mean anything to God. Oh, my goodness. This is what it means to serve God. Serving God is not perfect church attendance and underlining in your Bible. Serving God is getting out there where the people are at and actually showing them Jesus, because you may be all the Jesus they will ever see. And me too. But a certain Samaritan, now right now, this young lawyer, he's getting upset, because don't tell me that you're about to brag on this Samaritan, because there was a big division between the Jews and the Samaritans. But a certain Samaritan, as he traveled along, came down to where the man was, and when he saw him, He was moved with pity and sympathy. Oh, I just feel so sorry for you, sister. Well, are you going to do anything to help me? I just feel so bad for you. You know, true sympathy and pity, ask God, at least ask God, is there anything you want me to do? Maybe there is nothing you can do, and having that empathy is what you can do. You can pray, you can encourage, but maybe there is nothing else that you can do. But how about if we just start asking God in every situation, come on, I double dare you to do this. God, is there anything that you want me to do? Oh, good, I'm getting one little patty cake over here somewhere. I'll share one with you that God spoke to my heart a few years ago. You won't like it. I didn't like it either, but here it comes. I was praying for God to help somebody with something. He said, why are you asking me to do it? You could do it. And I learned that we don't need to be asking God to do stuff that we could easily do and just don't want to. I don't know, maybe you work with somebody that has had some kind of a difficult situation. The husband got laid off from work, lost his job or whatever, and you heard from somebody else that now they're 3 months behind on their rent and maybe getting evicted from their house. Oh, God, send somebody to pay Susie's rent. Yeah, see, I can feel the... You should be up here and have to deal with this. I mean, if I say stuff your flesh likes, it's like, whoo. But now I'm saying pay her rent. It's like, well, why would I help her? She's not even that nice to me anyway. And she got that promotion I deserve. Why should I help her? She's been rude to me. So this man was moved with pity and sympathy. He didn't just feel it, he was moved with it. Actually, we can have true sympathy and not feel anything at all if we're moved to action. And he went to him, dressed his wounds, pouring on them oil and wine, and then he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now, some of the reading that I did said, if this Samaritan bandaged his wounds, you might consider that he probably wasn't traveling with a bag full of bandages, which meant that maybe he had to tear up some of his own clothing to make these bandages to bandage this guy's wounds. And I would imagine if he put him on his donkey or horse or whatever he was riding, then that meant that he probably had to walk. So boy, this guy's getting really inconvenienced here. And the next day, he brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I myself will repay you when I return. Now, you know what I really like about this is he did not put any limits on what he would do for the guy. That's the big thing I see here. He says, whatever it costs, I'll take care of it. One piece that I read said that the amount of money that he gave the innkeeper might have covered as much as 24 nights in the inn. It was 2 days of wages for him, but it was a lot that he was giving this guy. I will repay you when I return. You know, sometimes we do a little something just to ease our conscience, but maybe we don't do enough to really get the job done. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad that Jesus said it is finished. He went all the way through and finished the job. He did everything that he was supposed to do. And you know what? My mom and my dad and my aunt, which we also took care of because she didn't have any children, My dad passed away, I guess, about maybe 6 years ago, and my mom probably 3 years ago, and my aunt a year ago. And you know what? I'm so glad that I saw it all the way through to the end. And I can say, I did it. I did everything that God wanted me to do. We need to be people that learn how to finish, not just people that know how to start. And that's kind of where I'm at in my life. I've come this far. Man, I get tired sometimes, and you know, this is not my first conference. I've been in thousands and thousands of these. But I want to finish. I want to finish what God gave me to do. I don't want to just start something and then just give up because it gets hard. I want to finish. And we need to be finishers in life no matter what it costs us. Well, you know, the priest, I don't know, why didn't he stop? I mean, this is a religious man. Why didn't he stop? Well, maybe he was on his way to church. Or maybe he'd been to church and was on his way home for dinner. That would even be worse. So let's just say that maybe when you leave here, and I hope I'm not prophesying to somebody, but maybe when you leave here, you see somebody out in the parking lot that has a flat tire. Well, you can pass by on the other side. Or, even though that wasn't your intention and you have your plan and you're busy headed somewhere and your stomach is growling with hunger, oh, jiminy Christmas. Or you could stop your car and get out and say, is there anything that I can do to help you? Well, I mean, I couldn't change a tire, but I could make a phone call. I could do something. Is there anything I can do to help you? Well, I don't know. Maybe the person's crying and they're like, I got to get this thing fixed, but I don't really have the money. Well, hey, maybe you could pay for it. Wow. Well, I don't have time to stop. I got to get home from the Joyce Meyer conference to go home and eat. Well, it would be bad enough to do that on your way here. It would be double bad if you do it after being here and you're on your way home. We all have one of these that we wear. You know, maybe it's not a board that we hang around our neck, but the message is there. Do not disturb me. I have my plan. I'm busy. I got plans for my money. I've got my time all lined out. Don't disturb me. Well, it's okay to hang one of these on your hotel door. Sometimes I'll even put one up on my door at home sometimes just to be funny. I got so many people and kids and grandkids coming in and out all the time. It's like, but you can't put one of these on your life and do the work that God has called you to do. Amen? Okay. Well, I love the parable of the Good Samaritan because a lot of people had an opportunity to help this man that was hurting, but so many just passed him by. And I don't ever want to do that, and I really want to try to make sure that the people that I have the privilege of teaching don't do that either. So it's nice to say to someone, I love you, but it's our actions that really have the impact. So I encourage myself, along with you, let's all be the Good Samaritan.